I on the air or not?
Well, we are now. We have a, you know, I bought one of those new mixing boards. And
yeah.
the slider on it. You know those, some of them that have the sliders instead of the knobs? Well, the slider on it, when I'm trying to use the volume, all of a sudden it'll just short out, and then it'll go mono left or mono right, and then it'll just short out. And I thought, you know, I just bought this thing. You know, the manufacturing quality of even Mackie boards or any boards these days.
Are we on the air right now?
Well, yeah, of course.
So we haven't been on the air up till now.
Well, something stopped about 5 minutes ago. And when it got bad enough, I finally came over and thought I'd address it.
Thank you very much. So we were on the air up till 5 minutes ago?
Well, you were, but you were playing some sort of a tape.
Yeah.
And the tape was, I don't know whether it was coming out over the air, part of it, or very low, or very, because you were taped running a tape, and I couldn't tell, so I was in the back working the other feed, and if you're running a tape, and I'm looking over here realizing it's a tape, I figure it's normally low anyways. So I didn't think to check, and I was too busy at the time.
I think the volume was pretty loud on the tape.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it just didn't go out. Now, you do know that at 6 o'clock I got to put another show on, so when I'm not here, folks, right away, that's usually what I'm doing. I'm just, because we have new equipment here, and I'm just constantly making sure that it's working.
I thought your shows were, like, staggered, so it starts at 6:30.
Well, we made an exception here on Saturday, and it made it very difficult on me.
That's bad.
Well,
that's when you're supposed to be on the air. We lose the concentration and focus at the beginning.
Well, not when the equipment's... See, we just... When? We just bought all new equipment, all new computers, all new boards, all new everything. So this is to be expected, and I'm really happy the way things turned out. Looks like
it. Let's see if it's a caller, see if they heard us.
All right, the caller, you're on the air. Who are you and what do you want?
This is Scott. I was just going to tell you that the show came out when everything came over, and it was clear. It did go mono stereo back and forth, but it was all clear. And
oh, well, great. Thank you. Thank you.
That's not Scott in Ohio, is it?
Yeah, that's Scott in Ohio.
Well,
hey, Scott, how are you?
I am fantastic.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
Scott,
thanks for letting us know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys came through real clear, and the whole entire channeling came through, and a little bit of talk afterwards. And
well, there you go, Wim.
We didn't miss any of it.
Scott, the gentleman that has been checking into those conference calls that we refer to the conference calls during the channeling.
Well, do you notice? See, now I can break in cleanly and we can all discuss, and I can actually hit a button right now and we could be talking to the people on the late night schedule and they could be talking to us.
Oh, well, very good. Scott, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line.
You know, Scott's an interesting guy. Scott lives in Ohio.
Right.
And he has a connection with the energetic grids and the mounds in Ohio. Scott, this is your chance. You want to share it with our listening audience?
Yes. What I'm looking for, working with the mounds, and I'm looking for people to come to Wynn's conference call and do some programming into the earth grid system for balancing and for transmuting the things that's being done to Mother Earth and the things that's being done to humanity at this time. The light is definitely the power source of humanity, and the people out there that's listening to step forth and get on the conference calls with Wynn. They're very informative, but as we gather light workers within this group of light, it's healing for everyone, and if we can really concentrate on the earth, as I see the earth system, then all of humanity will be healed. And a lot of times I'm into healing, and I work with individual people, but if we heal Mother Earth and balance Mother Earth, then I think all of humanity riding this great ship, I think we will all survive it much better, and our healing processes will be much quicker. So I think that's going to be a reflection of all of us. So I really invite people to to step in and get on Wynn's conference calls. And he calls in the light, and you can put people in there that need healing, and there's a tremendous energy that will flow for those people, for their healing. But then in return, you can flow your energy into Mother Earth and into the grid system. And maybe on some of Wynn's channeling, he can concentrate with Ra and Elohim to teach us more about programming this mound system. We have Serpent Mound in Ohio, but we have thousands of mounds, and they were placed here to keep Earth in balance and to do healing and to do tremendous healing work. We just need to be taught the blueprint and how to work this for the good of all humanity. Do you agree, Wynn?
Yeah. You know, the conference call, I keep telling people, started as an experiment. And I said, I don't know if this is going to work or not, but it's something that I can do. It's something that was within my means to do. And a lot of times people think of, you know, really these great, fantastic kind of schemes to change things. And we have this, it seems like we have this amazing circumstance on the conference calls where those group soul energies are coming and joining with us on the call. Now, I can't prove that, but I do know that the people that have been checking into the call experience this amazing phenomena in their space. Plus, there's so many people that have had personal healings or personal transformations as a result of connecting with the call. So something is going on, and it certainly seems positive. And then whenever we do the channelings, like the one I just play, they keep saying how important these calls are, because we are in not indirect, but direct relationships.
A very gifted, you know, wow, that is what I've gotten. That's so important. At least to me in this moment, even if it's not important to all of creation forever.
Yeah. So, Scott, thanks for calling and letting me know that was going out. Of course, Don left me hanging. He doesn't tell me what's going on. Don, are you on?
Yeah, I'm on. I'm here.
Can
you hear me?
Yeah, I'm chastising you. I'm giving you a public chastisement.
Uh-oh.
At least come on and tell me,
right,
or you won't be on.
All right, I'll be right there. Just the truck. I'll be there soon.
Are you getting off?
That's something we need to really thank Don for everything he's done for this program that he's put together. I can jump on the internet.
Well, bummer, that isn't working. I thought it would.
He's just done a great job.
Working.
Don is an excellent, excellent.
You know, I'm trying to feed.
Yes, I love Don.
Hold on,
yes.
I'm trying to feed the late night over here, and it should be feeding over clean. But you want to throw an experiment in here for a couple minutes? Huh?
What are you doing, Don?
Caller, we're going to let you go and try an experiment. All right?
Scott,
there's another person on here besides us.
That's Don.
And another person besides that?
Well,
yeah.
Don has got two shows running simultaneously
there,
now.
I turned it off.
That's why he's a little screwed up tonight.
There we go.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm trying to, he's doing three
things. We don't have much time, so here we go.
He's putting our show on. He's putting somebody else's
right.
show on.
Let's see
and
if this works.
Co-hosting.
Right. And that is essentially a rebirth.
Hold on.
And you create this little dome structure.
He's actually talking on the late night schedule.
Turtle Island, or the and,
right?
And the worm.
Yeah, that's how.
That was another stream
hold
coming
on.
In on our rock
yeah,
up in the
fire. But he doesn't know it yet.
And the rocks actually.
We're
going to
switch
you know,
it here real soon.
And
let's see if we can. Let's
rock.
Have some fun with him here.
So they give up the 100 million or more years of existence for this experience because by the end of it. They're dust, or they'll be dust soon.
Louder, man.
Testing, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Hey, Don.
Yes. I got to get the Dr. Bass show on. I'll be right back.
Jeez. Anyone else listening to me?
When? I got to get Fred on the air.
You know, we're supposed to call in the light, Don.
Let there be light.
That's not calling in the light. All right. www.higher-vision.org. Okay, more inference on the for information on the conference calls. www.higher-vision.org. Okay, that's it. I guess we're off the air. God bless you all. We're not calling in the light tonight. Well, we'll just do it quietly for a moment. And next week, we hope Don will have our act together so things run more smoothly. Thank you for listening. And over and out.
I love you.
Okay, I think we are on the Don and Wynn show. My name is Don Newsom, and I'm going to introduce my co-host. Is my co-host there? Are we on the air? Hello, Don. I don't even know, is anyone listening to me? This is a typical start for the Don and Wynn show. So those of you who are checking in for the first time, be prepared for anything. Hello, Don. Hello, hello. Hello, 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 hello. Now, people tell me this is entertaining, so I hope you guys are going along with it. Actually, I'm not Don Newsom. I'm Wynn Free. I was going to try something different today, but it didn't work because my co-host put me on the air and didn't tell me what he was doing. So, what are we going to talk about? Who knows what's going on? Here we are again, and we are in Los Angeles. Don is the founder of Blogging Service. Those of you who have been checking in and listening to the great shows he has can appreciate this guy that's worked day and night to do it. And in fact, right at this moment, he's probably working. Michelle, are you listening? Hello, Michelle. Am I on the air? What's going on? Hello, hello. Okay. I think I might be on the air. I'll assume I'm on the air. It's now. What time is it? She did a countdown. And the time is, let me see. So we're supposed to be on the air. She did it. Michelle? Don? Anybody home? Okay. Well, I'm just going to assume we're on the air and proceed as if we are. Hopefully someone will come and tell me that we're on the air. Those of you who have been listening to the show and listening to the dynamic that happens between Don and I, we both come from different angles, but really we have similar aspects to what we do, and that is we're both dedicated to making a contribution to this planet during this period of time we're in, which is a little bit scary for many people, a little bit confusing and challenging. Certainly challenging. And so it's our goal, in our own ways, to contribute something to you that will help you meet the challenge and handle things more expeditiously. And I happen to have a circumstance where I've had two personal relationships who channel, and I've had endless conversations with voices that identify themselves as coming from other dimensions and who operate as group souls. And if I'm correct, these two group souls have been two of the sources that mankind has considered as God. And in all my questions and answers, we've gotten a very unusual or comprehensive perspective on how the other side works. We all know there's another side. We all know there's many, many angels. There's this, that, and the other thing. But the big picture is really not that visible, maybe to any of us. And then, of course, if you get channeled information, you have to ask yourself, how do I know that's true? So when we're dealing with channeled information, that is the number one question. How do you know it's true? You don't. So you have to see what resonates. So I was planning this evening on playing a channeling and allowing you folks to just consider it. So in my questions and answers, we have these two group souls, which are both pure energy, no bodies, and they consist of hundreds of millions to billions of individual souls. One of the group souls identifies itself as the Ra Confederacy, which is this huge energy flowing within the fabric of the universe, as almost melded with the energy of the flow that radiates what people call, the unified field. But it's got an intelligence to it. And this group soul can actually flow into your space. They can be there as energy. The other group soul is the Council of Elohim, which is outside of the universe and beams into it. And they can look at us from outside. And they can, we've had experience with healings and all kinds of stuff through their beaming into this realm and transforming things. Then there's been the identification, and we've talked to all of these groups, of the Council of Twelve. And in fact, the Council of Twelve is a group of 12 individual souls that is acting as kind of a regulatory agency for the two major group souls, the Elohim and Ra. And they monitor our realm and decide where energies should flow, could flow, where it would be beneficial, who's asking, etc. Now, we actually, on December 10th of 2005, we had a live channeling on the Don and Wynn show, which is in the archives. The Council of Twelve, and perhaps their first live channeling to a public audience, certainly in recent history. And today, I'm going to play a channeling, since Don is not here, and I think these channelings are important for you to hear. There's two sub-councils of the Council of Twelve. There's the Council of Nine and the Council of Seven. And remember, these are all energy beings. They're not physical beings. The Council of Seven is the most close-in council and regulates a lot of the things like flying saucers and et cetera, et cetera. And we did have a channeling where the Council of Seven came in, and I thought I would play that channeling for you and let you hear how this council has communicated to us. And you can be sure that they are paying attention to us while we're playing the channeling, and they're paying attention to you. So you might have changes in your energies while you listen. So I recommend, if you're listening and you have distractions, turn your distractions down and give this your full attention. Relax, and you may notice a shifting while this is going on. So, just a moment.
24/7 is currently available for your questions. Please proceed.
Thank you for being here. We had a communication from the Council of 12. And it asked us to make contact with you. Perhaps as an introduction to this session, you could explain who the Council of Seven is and how they operate and their function in this realm.
We, Council of Seven, an interplanetary jurisdiction over what you would deem the personal planet, extending out to the asteroid belt and including those bodies known as Jupiter and Saturn. We are an interdimensional regulatory body composed of several hundred thousand souls operating at a fifth, sixth, and seventh density or dimensional reference point, as you in Earth terminology would understand this. Our primary function is to oversee the energetic and biological balances and to intercede if necessary in regulating the homeostasis, the interior balance of the planets under our auspices and care. At this time, there is much inner turbulence by way of the Earth's transmigration along with the rest of the solar system through what you deem and term the photon band. This has resulted in a wild fluctuation of energies emanating from the sun in the form of solar flares. Also, the intensity of rays emanating from the sun. The quality of these rays has changed. This results in a different kind of polarization of light, a different frequency and harmonic of sunlight than that to which humanity and other living creatures on Gaia and indeed the other planets have experienced within the last solar flare cycle, which is normally one of 11 years. There has been a ramping up of over 200% in terms of intensity of the flares since 1987, when this was first noted by your scientists, among them NASA and the other geophysical institutes on your planet. If you would pay attention, you would notice that the effects of so-called global warming are well upon your Earth. There is no denying this. There shall be, and is, a melting of the ice cap. Indeed, there is hardly any ice left on your North Pole. The polar bears are migrating to ever further southern regions. This can be ascertained by doing research on your internet and the Canadian government's handling of the bears descending south. There are huge chunks of ice breaking off of Antarctica, some as large as the state of Connecticut. This has been happening within the last 4 years and will continue to accelerate. The upshot of this is a slight but significant average temperature rise on the planet, which eventually shall mean a rise in water level, putting in danger all lands which are at sea level or near to the sea level. The eastern seaboard of your United States, indeed the place where the entity now resides, possibly within 7 years, could be facing a danger of being in a flood zone. There are ways to mitigate such disastrous fluctuations of balance. It is these in which we are currently involved. We speak mostly of your Earth realm, for the changes on the other planets, of which there are many, even though they affect the Earth realm, are not as much of your immediate concern. Does this answer your question?
Yes, it does. Are you aware of the work? Have you been aware of the work we are doing here on this planet?
Please specify we.
We, myself, the entity, our conference calls. Is that something that the energy of that penetrates into your awareness?
Naturally, as this is a much higher frequency work, it is as if the Earth developed in a kind of radio static, and your frequencies penetrate the static and rise above. There are not many of these, so our attention is drawn to them quickly. We applaud your efforts and ask you to maintain a strict awareness and an enveloping understanding of that which you do, and encourage like-minded others to help and participate in your efforts, as it is this kind of energy which mitigates and stabilizes and decreases the frequency of physical hardship, which is sure to be the onslaught, the culmination, the outcome of the cause and effect karmas of those ignorant of the laws of the third dimension, action and reaction. Much assistance is required. There is much entropy and negative thought processes and forms to be overcome. There is much subliminal programming of a negative type also to be overcome. Your mission is indeed a challenging, though not impossible, one. We sense there are now 35,000 souls worldwide who have the level of commitment of yourself and the entity. We say level of commitment, not that they are doing the same work precisely, but that their heart's intent and their intent and alignment of the spiritual body are in such a magnitude as to attract the help of the higher elemental, transplanetary, and interdimensional forces. which could assist in the interplanetary, interdimensional birthing, this changing, this flipping of the cosmic pancake, so to say. You are very done on one side. You are almost to the point of getting burnt. It is time for a radical 180-degree shift in the values of those individuals, especially those in the Western world, whose diversion has been accumulation and consumption of goods in the hope of staving off loneliness, depression, and despair, resulting from closed hearts, lack of generosity, and a lack of compassion and awareness that the spiritual must indeed predicate, be the foundation of the family, of the life, and all else built on that. It is as if in the United States especially, the pyramid of values has totally been turned on its head. Does this make sense?
Yes, it does. How can we utilize the relationship with the Council of Seven to the greatest benefit to the work we're doing?
We are always available for assistance. You may invoke us in your prayer invocation. You may invoke us especially to help ease the traumas of the physical earth changes. Also the interplanetary relations of Sun, Moon, Earth, Venus, and Mars especially, and those councils of Jupiter and Saturn, which would also aid and abet your purpose if called upon. We would ask that you also develop relationships with the specific council of the individual planets, especially Jupiter and Saturn, as these are not the transpersonal, nor the personal, but the social collective consciousness planet. And this is indeed on planet Earth, that which is in the most dire need of healing. Call on them. They will respond to your inquiries and are greatly happy to be of assistance. As it is planetary law, we are not, any of us, of any of the council, allowed to interfere unless specifically requested to do so, as it is a violation of the highest law of free will. So, please avail yourself, your light workers, your spiritual network participants, to avail themselves of the opportunities to call on the assistance of the higher planetary forces to aid and uplift and sustain them during these tumultuous times. We do not want to frighten you, but things have the possibility of getting extremely disruptive, especially in the next 3, 5, 7 years. Much hinges on possibility and probability vortexes, which hang precariously in the balance at this time. It is very good that you send light to the leaders of countries such as your United States, and also send light to the leaders of countries who are provocative, such as Israel, such as Iraq, such as Iran, countries who have suffered greatly, such as Lebanon, also Egypt, also Syria, also Jordan, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Afghanistan, and the like. This region is highly explosive and on the verge of exploding into possibly a nuclear holocaust, which would be a very, very negative thing for the world at this point in time. The more light you can send to this place, the more that it can be transformed and the more that this can be mitigated. It is of a certain urgency that you do this. We would ask with every prayer meeting that you have that you do this invocation first. More questions?
Yes. It is my understanding there are many different planetary populations that are paying attention to Earth. Are you interfacing with those different populations?
We do not interface directly with the populace. We interface more with the energetic sphere, which is sustained the populace, what you would know here on Earth as your biosphere. Does that answer your question?
Yes. In the Carla Rucker and David Wilcott channelings, it is referred, there's a reference to the Federation of Planets. Would that be another name for the Council of Seven?
The Federation of Planets would be a closer approximation to what you have referred to as the Council of Twelve.
The Council of Twelve?
Yes.
I see. So the Council of Seven is a group energy also, similar to some of the other group energies, but more with a localized, specific jurisdiction.
We are what you would call a subgroup of the Council of Nine and the Council of Twelve. We all operate harmoniously and within certain protocols with each other. We have certain areas of expertise, especially with regard to what you would deem your scientific and balancing energetics between planets, especially those close to the sun. The Council of Nine deals very especially with Jupiter and Saturn and the asteroid belt. The Council of Nine has more of a socio-political kind of jurisdiction and influences in this way. The Council of Twelve is an overarching council. It is the solar system's headquarters. It is the command post, in a certain sense, enveloping all of the planets, going outwards to Pluto, and even beyond. It is concerned with the geological, social, political, and all other dimensions of stability and harmony. As much as is possible during this difficult transformation time, not only for Gaia, but for the other planets as well. Does this suffice?
Yes, it does. Do you interface directly with the Elohim and Ra, or do you go through the hierarchy of councils for that interface?
We go through the hierarchy of the council.
I see. So you would petition through the Council of Nine, you would petition through the Council of Twelve, and the Council of Twelve directly interfaces with the Elohim and Ra energies.
As you understand it in those terms, this is approximately correct.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the spaceships that people see, the UFOs, what planetary populations are they coming from?
Many of these are coming from outside of your galactic sector. We see Pleiades, Sirius, Sirius, Arcturian, also Orion, Betelgeuseum, and many others.
What percentage of these could we term service to others?
Mm. Unfortunately, we read a low percent, 34%.
Making a side comment here, this is Wynn Live. They actually answered my question as if I was saying service to self when they said unfortunately. So that's a mistranslation there. We're going to continue.
There are, however, approximately another 30% which are neither service to other nor service to self.
Mm-hmm.
They are rather neutral.
Mm-hmm.
It is as if a scientist is conducting an experiment and is simply acting out of curiosity.
Okay, getting deep data.
Data, yes.
From observing this process.
Not only observing, sometimes taking samples.
Mm-hmm. Would that mean abduction kind of things?
Not necessarily abduction. Sometimes they are physical senses.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is procured through taking one's information when a human being is in a dreaming state. Other times, in the rare cases, it is a physicalized abduction. These tend to be more in the service to self-sector.
Mm-hmm. Does the Council of Seven have the ability to regulate this at all?
Yes, they are the regulators.
So why is it that the service to others are prevalent? Is it something that the Council...
They are not prevalent. They are one-third.
One-third. But they're there with the permission of the Council of Seven?
They are there with the permission because the Earth humans have given them permission. Remember, this is a free world zone.
I see.
And there have been contracts, some many thousands of years old.
I see.
For participation in a drama, albeit from your perspective, it is negative.
Mm-hmm. I see. This is a very good opening introduction. So we could call on the Council of the Individual Planets, and that would be a positive thing to do. And
we would ask Jupiter and Saturn.
Just Jupiter and Saturn.
To begin with.
Okay. Could we speak to Earth also?
Yes, the Earth logos.
The Earth logos?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be valuable at some point?
Yes, it would be.
Mm-hmm. That would give the Earth an opportunity to share her experience.
Her grief at this point. She is hurting right now.
Yes. On these planets, the ones you're referring to, are we talking to energetic sources? Essentially, in other words, Jupiter and Saturn don't have physicalized populations. Do they have...
They have populations, but they are not their density populations. They are resident within fifth and sixth density.
Mm-hmm.
But they are physicalized within those densities.
Mm-hmm. In the Edgar Cayce readings, it was said that... many humans in between lives or have lives on these other planets.
This is true.
We have experiences then in these resident energies of higher densities.
No, your souls transmigrate to the other planets and take up residence within a 5D or 6D form,
mm-hmm.
and thereby experience whatever lessons, karma, the situation the soul has set itself upon to learn in between life on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are these populations set up with organizations and teaching mechanisms?
Yes.
It's hard for me to grasp it in 3D, but...
It is not so different from your 3D concept at the university.
Mm-hmm. So there's lectures, there's teachers.
Yes, think of a vast cosmic library.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anything, I might play this on your conference call on Monday. Is there anything you would like to share?
Today.
Just a moment, please. Turn the tape over.
I have a question that came up just now, and that is, why is it that we as individual humans can petition Ra and the Elohim directly, whereas the Council of Seven has to go through a hierarchy?
We operate as a group soul. We operate as individual souls.
So you have set that up to respect the energetic umbrellas, so to speak.
We have set it up in a way that most efficiently uses our forces to get the attention of the higher vehicle, which would aid and abet us in our purposes.
Where did the Council of Seven originate from in its own evolution to be in this position?
The Council originated over many hundreds of thousands of years. There were originally individual souls, such as those on Earth, which graduated into the realm beyond the third density and started to align with like-minded souls, thus forming loose group soul energy. Over hundreds of thousands of years, there was a coalescence and a natural kind of organization, organically speaking, which led to a kind of hierarchical organization, which naturally led itself to a certain kind of taking care of certain sectors, a certain jurisdiction, a certain natural cohesiveness among the residents of the various planetary spheres, and a certain natural cooperation. This led to the forming of the Council, similarly to what you in the United States would know as a town council, and the town council speak with other town councils, and eventually they take their more difficult problems to the state legislature, and then on and upward to the federal body. Does this make sense?
Yes, it does. So, in conclusion, would you like to make a comment to our conference call directly?
We applaud your efforts. We are grateful, and we are sincere in our hope that you are able to continue in this work of light, cohesiveness, opening up the heart, and compassion, which is infiltrating and trickling down much more than you would be aware of on a conscious level. As the stability of the group grows, it would be good to open the group to invitation. Carefully discerned, of course, but over time, to open the group to greater and greater possibilities of extension to others. We would also recommend, suggest, that beams and similar channeling from this entity, from the entity known as Terry, from yourself, to be made available in the form of a website accessible to the spiritual group members and then also to the general public at some time. This concludes our broadcast. We wish you light, well, health, perseverance, and fortitude, and much courage for choosing to come in a most tumultuous and yet glorious time of transition. If one stays in the center of the storm, cyclone does not hit so hard. Adonai, Adonai, Sabaoth.
That's it. That was the Council of Seven, and I think we did that maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago. Now, I hope I am on the Don and Wim show. No one's talking to me. Don, are you there? Anyone there? Okay, well, I'm going to continue to talk as if I am on the air. And you'll note that they referred to our conference call. And this is something that I started over a year ago as an experiment. And I was having these ongoing conversations with these group energies, or what identified themselves as group energies. And there were a number of phenomena associated with it. There were a great many incidents other than just a voice that gave me reason to believe that it was real. Of course, if you're listening to this for the first time, you have every right, and in fact, you should be skeptical. You should be asking yourself, is that really who they say they are? And I would hope that you would investigate me, my work, my websites, which I will bring you before the end of the night. You know what? There's another call coming in. I want to make sure that's not Don telling me I'm off the air. Hang on.